We all have our regular routines. Maybe one of your routines is going to a coffee shop in the morning. It was one listener's routine until everything changed one day when they showed up at their regular coffee shop and things weren't quite right. What happened? Where did the people go? And who were they to begin with? Find out in EPP bonus episode number 51 of Real Ghost Stories Online.
You won't forget this one.
Creepy, creepy story. You'll have access to that one and all of our bonus episodes when you sign up at Real Ghost Stories Online to become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Keeps our show on the air, and you can enjoy all of these member-exclusive bonus episodes. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, and thanks.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, could practices in white magic actually be getting the results of black magic? A beloved uncle makes the rounds to let everyone in his family know he has died. Something is casting a very unusual shadow in a listener's basement, but none of the residents are to blame. And a small English village seems to have a home that appears and then vanishes. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello. I enjoy these stories where, like, physical destinations appear and reappear.
Mm-hmm.
Those are always really freaky and interesting to me. I don't know why.
This story is very similar to one we've already had.
Mm-hmm.
And we shared, we shared it twice on a regular episode and then on our kid-friendly episode.
Okay.
But this is a different teller. This is a different place.
Okay.
But it's still over in the UK in a small village.
So similar sort of happening.
Yeah.
Essentially, but different elements to it.
Yeah, even the setting is very similar.
Interesting. Interesting, interesting. Good stories today. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. Our phone number to call to Real Ghost Stories Online. And, of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. I wanted to show you this special award that I found.
Is it a major award?
This is a major award. I got this.
Is it Fragile?
Not quite, but okay. This is, I was going through a box of stuff here as we've unhoarded the office today. And now it's looking good again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through a box and I found this award and I forgot I received it. This is, you want to read this? This is from a little while back. This is earlier in my career. This is a major award.
Oh my gosh. From 1997, the cream puff eating contest, second place.
Second place, not first place. You got a second place placard and award.
And this is from the Wisconsin Agriculture Tourism Association.
I guess so.
So it's legit.
It's totally legit. I remember doing that in a shopping center.
Oh my gosh.
It was actually done at Forest Mall in my hometown. And I believe I competed against another radio disc jockey at the time.
So this was kind of a radio stunt?
It was kind of a stunt. It was like for I think it was promoting the state fair.
Okay.
Because cream puffs are a big deal there. And it was, oh, hey, look, watch the local DJs eat cream puffs. They're going to eat it fast. So, yeah.
How many did you eat?
It was just one. It was like, how fast could you eat it?
Oh.
I believe. But they're giant cream puffs.
Oh, so they're not like the little frozen things you get
no.
at Sam's.
No.
Okay.
These are like Big Macs, if not larger.
Ew.
They're huge, 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 huge cream puffs.
Is the
puffs.
Show over?
No, it's not. It's press the wrong button.
Okay.
That was a very quick 4-minute show today. But yeah, there was a giant, I just thought it was fun. And I was thinking I should hang this on the wall.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, just all the random stuff that people put up, like somebody just walks in here. Not that we have many guests that actually come into the studio, but like, oh, look, what is cream puff? It's like when you have like your Little League trophy still up and you're 45.
Well, it's got like a torch on it, like you ran a marathon or something.
It's hilarious.
No, you ate a cream puff. That's great.
And I got second place at it. I wasn't good enough to have first. So
that sucks.
I did, however, win the cheese curd eating contest.
Oh, I bet.
At the Wisconsin Cheese Fest. I believe it was in, Little Chute or something. It's up by Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what town it was because it was like 10 years ago. But I did win that one year.
Now, are they fried or are they just the squeaky?
Fresh. Fresh, squeaky, full pound. And I think I did it in like 2 minutes or so.
That's gross.
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting. I look back at pictures of me from that time too and go, oh my God.
Yeah. There's a reason you were wearing the husky pants.
There was a reason. There was certainly a reason. So there you go. Enough about cream puffs and cheese curds. Let's talk about some ghosts here. Our first story today comes into us from Frankie. And it says, I've had several paranormal experiences throughout my life, but I felt like telling you guys about two particular incidents that really stand out to me. One was during high school when both my mom and my sister were delving into the white magic side of Santeria. They've always been spiritual and into getting tarot card or palm readings, but during this time, they really wanted to open their third eye with the help of their friends who were involved in this practice and getting in touch with their angels. Over time, my sister, who's the really sensitive one, would start to experience things like hear her closest door or closet door shaking in the middle of the night, or the light would turn off on her when she would be in the shower. These things had happened throughout the course of their time practicing Santeria with their friends at another house. But because my sister wasn't prepared for this kind of activity, it would alarm her. And most nights, she'd even sleep in my room because, according to her, nothing ever happened to her whenever she was in my room. And she claimed that I was very protected by my own angels. We even had a longtime friend sleep over one weekend in my room, and my friend immediately asked me to turn the light back on after I turned it off. When I did, she said she heard whispering in the room when the lights went out, and my sister had this look of relief on her face, claiming that she was glad she wasn't the only one who had heard it, and to please keep the lights on for the rest of the night. I'd shrug at these things and go along with it since I couldn't see anything for myself, but then one night, when the activity was at its peak for my sister, I'd gone to bed after a long day of rearranging the furniture in my room. During these days, as a teenager, I was such a night owl, so I always went back to bed much later than everyone else. Well, this night, I'd been lying in bed for a good 5 to 10 minutes, and my mind was buzzing with random thoughts. Next thing I know, my stereo turns on by itself. This immediately freaked me out because I knew it wasn't plugged in, especially since I had been moving things around all day. Something to keep in mind about my stereo is that it has three functions: a radio, CD player, and a tape cassette player. So after it turned on, I froze in terror and watched it switch from radio to CD player to cassette player to CD player to radio to CD player and so on, until it suddenly stopped at the cassette tape player. I know there wasn't a cassette in there, but the marquee in my stereo animated as if something was playing, and I heard the static of the stereo grow loud enough to fill the room. I get the chills just remembering this incident, and I could feel the anxiety build up on my shoulders, terrified that if I looked around me or screaming for help, I'd find someone standing next to my bed. What made it even worse was that I was the only one whose room was on the first floor. So if I really wanted my parents or sister to hear me, I'd have to scream really loud. The stereo played this static noise for what I feel was the longest 3 minutes of my life. After that, everything was shut off, and needless to say, I didn't get very much sleep that night. Thankfully, nothing manifested in front of me that night after the stereo incident, but I was a firm believer from that point on, and later demanded the next day that they quit their practice. Sometime later, my mom had learned that one of the ladies who was supposed to be helping her develop spiritually was actively sending negative stuff to our home because she practiced the black magic side of Santeria and was jealous of my mom. She learned this from her ex-husband, someone from her group of spiritual friends who was completely unaware they'd become friends over time and wished he had known so he could have warned her, since no one in that group talked to her anymore. In retrospect, I laugh about the fact that when we lived in this particular house in California, we lived right next to a large cemetery known as the Resurrection Cemetery and Mausoleum. If anyone is curious, people gasp and laugh when I tell them this particular detail, but I honestly think that the reason why my mom and sister experienced so many things in our house was because we happened to have lived next to an area densely populated with the dead. The second story is much shorter, but it really boggles my mind. Years after the stereo incident, I was attending L.A. City College. I lived in the city with my then boyfriend. I remember being in the brand new library and sitting at my computer working on a final paper. The thing about me is that I'm convinced I have ADD because my attention span is terrible. It took me forever to complete that paper because I'd take breaks to play an online game or watch a show on Netflix. I mention this because I remember thinking to myself that if I didn't complete the paper on time, I'd be late for my next class and I wouldn't have any other time to complete this paper to turn in the next day. But I couldn't help but continue to look around the library. And all of a sudden, I felt as if someone had clenched their fist and knocked hard at the top of my head. I remember my earphones falling off when I jerked forward in reflex and turning around with a grin on my face, thinking it was a friend who had found me in the library and decided to play a prank. But no one was there. It would have been impossible for someone to have done that and run away to hide because I turned around very quickly when it happened. I was sitting in an open area where there were no other desks or shelves to hide behind. I even asked the girl sitting at the computer across from me, and she said she was already watching me, wondering what was wrong. According to her, it looked like I had been reacting to thin air. We were both freaked out. The word on the campus was that the old library, which was across the grounds, was known to have things like that happen, and other students who I told this to found it kind of odd that I experienced this in a new library that was freshly built. Maybe it was a ghost or a spirit guide keeping me on track to finish my paper. I'll never know. Anyway, thanks for reading my story. Love your podcast, and I hope to become an EPP soon. Much love, Frankie.
I think this is a perfect example of how what you do and the intent behind it, they're, you know, they being the spirits are going to know what the intent is. And it wasn't necessarily their family that was doing anything with bad intent, but the lady that was trying to show them this was doing that. And it makes you wonder if maybe because that was introduced to their family that way, that maybe things follow or they're more sensitive now. And that's why she had the experience in the library.
I think the other thing to think about is know who you're learning these things from. Have a good idea, you know, and you know, some references maybe, maybe some background checking there. You know, otherwise you're pretty much taking someone at their word that they're giving you, you know, accurate information on what you're practicing. And also be aware of, obviously, like they said in there, like the rest of that circle of people, they don't speak to her anymore. Why is that?
Yeah.
You know, very, very interesting story. Thank you for writing that in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. And like we say, if you like the show, please consider becoming an EPP. It's only $5 a month. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. That's what keeps the show on the air. We do it year-round for you. If you're a new listener just for a Halloween, you found us. This is a show that we do all throughout the year, not just Halloween season. And we rely on the support of our listeners to keep it going because there's a lot of bandwidth costs and all that fun stuff. So $5 a month is what we ask you to throw in the kitty. You get a bonus episode every single week of the show and access to all of our archived bonus episodes as well, 60 of them now, and some exclusive video stuff as well. So sign up, check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Nick writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm a relatively new listener. I've been getting into the Halloween spirit a little early, and I've been listening to the podcast on my daily commute. I wanted to share a terrifying experience that happened when I was around 7 years old and takes place in South Carolina, where I'm originally from. When I was 5, my parents divorced. My dad would try to pick me up from school or take me weekends when he wasn't scheduled for visitation, so my mom taught me to keep an eye out and to let her know if he wanted to pick me up and spend time with me. This plays a part in my encounter with something strange. I grew up in an apartment complex. It was on a sloped hill with a small forest surrounding the apartment buildings at the bottom edge. Lived in an apartment with my mom on the first floor. Our apartment was near the edge of the woods. The side of the apartment had a few small shrubs, but grass never grew there. It was always red dirt and mud. One night, we had a terrible storm. The rain was severe and it was lightning and thundering every few minutes. I'd woken up around 3:45 a.m. to use the bathroom, and after returning to my room, I found I could not return to sleep due to the storm. I'd lie in bed and just listen to the thunder for a while. After a few moments, I see a large silhouette, much larger than a man of normal height, cast against my window. I began to hear a loud whisper saying, "Hey, Nick, come to the window, open the window. Pull up the blinds and crawl out the window." The odd thing about this was it was my father's voice. I began to wonder if it really was my father calling for me to leave through the window. He had intended to take me with him. The voice kept repeating over and over again to come to the window and to open the window and come outside. I inched towards the window before I came to the conclusion that it wasn't my father. I knew no one in their right mind would be out in a terrible storm at 4 a.m. I had a sense of dread that told me that if I did go to the window and open it, it may very well be the end for me. I ran to my mother's room and asked if I could sleep with her, but she told me I was just imagining things, that there was nothing wrong with my bed, and to go back to my room. I was so terrified that I chose to sleep at the foot of my mom's bed until daybreak. The next morning, I decided to investigate the mud under my window to check for footprints, only I didn't find any. All these years later, I still wonder what was outside my window that night calling me. Was it something similar to the Pope Nick, or the Pope Lick monster that imitates voices to lure people away? I wonder if anyone on the message board has any clue as to what it was. I was awake for a while that night, and I do not believe that I was imagining it. Thanks for the podcast and all the work you do. Nick from Toronto.
You know, I think we've had other things call people, especially kids, to the window and try and lure them out.
Sure.
And it's never what it's portraying to be.
No, I mean, I think it's something that was dark, and I think it had knowledge of the fact that the dad would come at unexpected times and invite him over or invite him to do things, and it just took on that sound and that form, and had the hope that he would think it was his dad.
That was pretty smart to go look for the footprints.
The only thing is, if it's a storming night, there's a good chance that the footprints may also be gone from the rain. You know?
Yes, but then again, it could be, you know, wet enough that it has a muddy footprint.
True.
Make it easier to see.
You look at the odds, the dad just wants to spend more time. He's probably not showing up at 4 a.m.
Uh-uh.
That's one thing I'm sure he would not be attempting to do. Unless he was completely insane, which it doesn't sound like he was.
No.
So I'm going to guess it's probably not dad. So interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. The phone number 855-853-4802. Lindsay writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Lindsay from Chicago. After listening to your podcast for so long, I can't believe I'm actually writing in. I've been very aware of the paranormal since I was a child, so much so that my family often jokes about whether my people around me. In my wedding speech, my mom even made a joke about me being so shy I had my own special friends. These special friends, however, scared me to death. When I was a child, I was very shy and scared to do anything that would disrupt the norm. As such, a very weird circumstance go on unnoticed for fear of speaking up. In my childhood home, my sister and I had bunk beds with the foot of the bed next to the door. Ooh, bunk beds.
I don't like bunk beds.
Nothing good ever becomes of bunk bed stories.
Mm-mm.
It's always something very bizarre. Every night, a woman holding what I thought to be a fishing pole would stand at the foot of the bed and stare at me. I don't remember her appearing or walking in. I would awake and she'd be there. She never looked down at my sister, just looked straight ahead at me, leaving me paralyzed in fear until I'd go under the covers and eventually fall asleep. I was too scared to run because she was blocking all the doors, or to yell because she could get to me quicker than my mom. So for several years, this went on, and I never told a soul. Not until we moved out of that house. The weird thing is, I once heard that the land for that house used to have a small fishing pond, but but it's nothing I can confirm. When I turned 13, we moved into a new house, and soon new things started to happen. I'd hear creaks and noises, which eventually escalated to waking up in my living room to see the hands on our mantel clock spinning around and around. Years later, my sister told me she once saw the same thing happen. My mom's claims it was the batteries acting up, but I don't know how that would work. Plus, I took that clock away to my college apartment, and nothing had anything like that happen. Never had anything like that happen, no matter the stage of the batteries. In our new house, the basement, albeit finished and beautiful, had a creepy feel to it. It was hard to shake. The full-size John Candy cardboard cutout my dad received as a gag gift for his 40th birthday didn't help either. I swear that thing had some life to it. We'd always walk calmly to the stairs, but then sprint up after feeling as if someone was running behind us. My bedroom, however, seemed to be the hot spot. One time while sitting at my desk doing homework when I was about 15, I looked down to see my hairbrush spin in a circle out of nowhere. I hadn't touched it, but as soon as I reached over and put my finger on it, it stopped. My dog would always watch something on the wall behind my bed and seemed to be alert in my room, though scared. I tried my best to ignore it until one night when it all came to a head and I ended up sleeping between my parents. As a well-adjusted 17-year-old girl, I was lying in bed asleep when I was awoken by the sensation of someone leaning over me. Suddenly, a deep, breathy male voice screamed in my ear, and in one motion I jumped from my bed, over the threshold and out the door, down the hallway into my parents' room. I was crying hysterically and refused to go back into my room. My dad searched the house and found no one, but I spent the remainder of the night lying wide awake in between them, watching weird lights swirl at the entrance of my room. My younger sister experienced similar things whenever she would sleep in my room and is also very sensitive and empathetic like me, not necessarily in a paranormal sense, but in all aspects of my life. My feeling is that these things are often connected. Introverted, sensitive people often have a connection to the paranormal, maybe because they're so in tune with themselves and what's going on around them. I'm very in my head and can often guess things before they happen. Since that last incident, however, I haven't had anything else happen to me of substance. I've had a few creepy feelings, but no experiences like I did when I was younger. It's not that I want them, believe me, I don't, but I wonder why I was able to experience so much when I was younger and it waned as I grew up. Any insight into this would be much appreciated, as you seem to have a sense of these things. Thanks. And keep on making me laugh.
I think we can all agree the most terrifying part of this story is the life-size John Candy cardboard cutout.
That is freaky.
It is. That would freak me out, too. No, in reality, though,
mm-hmm.
In seriousness, I think it's that way with all of us, that this, you know, the sense of these things, for those of us that have it, is stronger when we're kids, and mm-hmm. then it wanes as we get older. And, you know, I wish I knew why. I wish I knew why it did for some and not for others. I think I saw a lot more as a kid and maybe didn't even realize it. Than I do now.
My question is, did it wane when the bunk bed went away?
Oh, you and your bunk bed.
I'm wondering. There's been so many stories on this show about, hey, weird shit started happening when we got this bunk bed. And we even had the one where they found like markings on the
yes.
like a pentagram on the bottom of the bunk bed that they bought brand new.
Yeah.
So I'm serious. I mean, it sounds silly and kind of crazy, but hey, what's new? I really think there was some point in the 70s or 80s. It's hard to place when, because a lot of these stories where folks had the bunk bed and then weird shit was going on seem to be around that time period where there was something at some bunk bed factory. Somebody was doing shit to these bunk beds and marking them or cursing them or whatever. There's been so many stories that we've had on the show that pertain to that, and then we have the marking on that one. And I mean, my fascination goes back to the original Unsolved Mysteries episode from the early 90s that aired about the haunted bunk bed in Horicon, Wisconsin. I really think there was something that happened. I think there, I don't know what or why, but it seems to be an interesting piece of furniture that continues to make itself known on our show. I don't know if it's in this case, but...
Yeah. I'm just thinking about, statistically, what would the odds be that more than one person that had a cursed or pentagram-marked bunk bed found mm-hmm. our show and wrote in?
I think a lot.
Really?
I do. I mean, I think that there's... I mean, if you had weird shit happen to you in your life when you were a kid... As an adult, you're probably looking into it. And if you do any sort of searching, you naturally find us.
Yeah, it's true.
It's pretty easy to come across our show if you're just searching for paranormal things.
Well, if you search us and bunk bed, there's probably...
Sure. We're probably like number one.
Yeah.
But that's... I really wonder if there's just... I mean, and the thing is, too, when people write in the bunk bed stories, a lot of times they haven't heard the previous one.
Yeah.
Or they're unaware that we had already had a string of stories over the past couple of years about them. So, I don't know. I mean, that seems to be an interesting factor more than other... The only other piece of furniture I'd say that has a lot of stories connected to it are mirrors.
Well, sure.
But that's a mirror, and mm-hmm. that's kind of a known thing. Just an odd piece of furniture that otherwise, you know, something just manufactured in the 70s or 80s, not through any sort of real history, mm-hmm. that has something attached to it. You're not like, oh, shit, the model XQX super lazy boy, you know, also has something attached. No, it seems to be bunk beds.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's odd.
It's very odd.
Be interesting when we get the bunk bed stories to ask them. And we know the one was wood because it had the marking on it, mm-hmm. but there was metal bunk beds. There was wood bunk beds. If they had a picture of it, mm-hmm. and to see if we can identify a pattern here.
You're going to do the bunk bed investigation.
I'm going to do... It's going to be a multi-year investigation because it takes time.
Okay.
But when those stories come in, I'm going to write back to those people and say, do you have a picture of the bunk bed? I mean, I would think maybe over the course... You have a bunk bed for probably 10 years when you're growing up. Maybe one picture of it. And then just see, are they similar in looks? Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there is something to that.
And similar as opposed to just... not looking like two beds stacked on each other.
I mean, it's because there was all the different types of models of bunk beds. Okay. I'm thinking it's a specific model from a specific place that this happened to.
Okay.
That was widely distributed. So, I don't know. Then we'll narrow it down and we'll solve the mystery. Then I'm going to call to the Unsolved Mysteries hotline.
And say you solved an unsolved mystery.
And finally, solve an unsolved mystery.
Robert Stack's going to come to your house.
It's all going to be great. Kelly writes in, as far back as I can remember, the house I grew up had a ghost in it. Wasn't a big deal, and she never did anything major. She'd rattle doors, sit on the ends of beds, and every now and then we could hear a snippet of conversation. Once or twice, she shook my bed until I woke, then left me alone. The activity was so common that when she'd rattle the door to my bedroom, I'd say, please stop, and the jiggling would immediately stop. My dad always told me it was his mom who died before I was born, and my sister insisted that it was a friend of hers that had passed away in an accident when she was a teenager. I always felt that she was female. If she was my grandmother or someone else, I can't be sure. I was about 16 when I started dating a boy who had his own share of ghostly encounters. None of them good or positive. I told him about our ghosts, and he shrugged it off. Not sure he believed me at first, or maybe he just didn't want to believe. A year or so into our relationship, he was hanging out at my house. I was in the shower, and he was in my room waiting for me to get out. When I was done, I crossed the hall, still rubbing my hair dry with a towel. I pulled open the door, and there he was, huddled in a corner, on my bed, holding his sword in shaking hands. We were participants in Renaissance fairs, and he was pale, and the moment I walked in, he started cursing. I hate this shit. This isn't fucking funny. I hate it. I told you I hated it. I let him vent for a bit. When he finally calmed down, he told me that he'd been waiting with the door closed, playing a video game, when the doorknob started rattling like someone was trying to open a locked door. I suppressed a grin. I had, after all, told him about this, and he thought it was me shaking the door handle to scare him. He said very funny to the door, and when it didn't stop shaking, he crept up and yanked it open mid-rattle. Finding only empty air, he flung the door shut again and scrambled away, snatching my sword on the way to the corner where I found him. I assured him that our ghost meant no harm and that all he had to do was ask. and she'd stop messing with him. Eventually, he stopped fearing our housemate. I wish I could tell you his stories and why he was so upset by my tame little spirit, but I only really remember one. Maybe I'll tell that one for Ouija Board Awareness Month. My dad still lives in that house. He grew up in the house next door where his mother died. Actually, at least three people died in the house next door to ours. I'll tell you about the activity in that house another time as well. Our ghost still makes its presence known, but not as much as that my sisters, and now that my sisters and I moved out. Although there was a time when I moved back in with my husband and newborn, and something happened then that still gives me the goosebumps, but I'll save that for another time as well. P.S. for Ouija Awareness Month? It's such a short story that I thought I'd add it now for you to read or discard. Oh, she adds it.
She adds it.
Okay.
She doesn't just say, I'll tell you later.
All right. Ouija Awareness. My childhood boyfriend, let's call him Fred, was about 8 or 9. What?
You just smacked yourself on the forehead.
Yes, I did, because there's a fly that keeps trying to eat me.
I know, but you literally just hit yourself in the head.
The fly knows I'm the second place cream puff eating contestant champion from 1997, and he smells goodness.
Okay.
Where am I? He had an older sister that was around 20 at the time, and she and their mom were playing with a board. I'm assuming the Ouija board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They had the lights out, candles lit, and set up, and they were very serious about what they were doing. Did I get it?
No.
Damn it.
When Fred, keep hitting. I think it's helping.
I'm going to fall off this chair eventually. When Fred wandered in, curious, the planchette started moving more quickly on the board, and the words, "Get him out of here," were spelled out over and over. Since Fred was the only him in the house, they assumed it was him the board was speaking about. His mom told him to leave the room, but he couldn't. He got a sudden chill and found it hard to move at all. He was also becoming increasingly scared. The words, "Get him out of here," were spelled out again and again, and then it added something like, "We won't speak if he's here." The whole time, Fred found it impossible to lift a finger. The whole thing ended with the board being upended and candles going out. After that, Fred was plagued by spirits. Unfortunately, I don't know those stories well enough to recreate them.
I think that's interesting that the Ouija spirits did not want to have the kid there.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, there's a thousand directions you can go with that.
Yeah, it's just different because usually they're like, ooh, we want anybody we can get our hands on.
Yeah, we'll share it. I don't know. Very unique Ouija tale for Ouija Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing that in. Still did not get that damn fly. I don't know where it went.
Keep hitting your head. It helps.
It's going to come back. I know it will. Dylan writes in, I have a few interactions with shadow people and a few creepy things that have happened in my house to my dad and a little brother. I'll tell you my little brother's story since one of them involves me and the other involved my room. A few months ago, I stayed the night at my fiance's house. My little brother slept in my room with my dog. According to him, he woke up to a face with red eyes staring at him. He didn't know what to do, so for about 2 minutes, he just stared back. Finally, the figure spoke and said, "Hello, Julian. Are you ready to go to hell?" My little brother said he was so scared he cried himself to sleep. He's 16 and isn't scared by much at this age. That story scared me because it happened in my room, but so far nothing has happened to me in the house we currently live in. I didn't find out about the event until recently by my parents, and when I asked him personally, he didn't want to tell me because I'm sure he is still scared. Another event that has happened to me and him together was when he was about 8 and I was 14 years old. We shared a room in our house at the time. We had bunk beds and I slept on the top and he on the bottom. One night I woke up and he was crying. I asked him, "What was the matter?" And he replied, "There's a man at the door watching me." As soon as he said that, my door creaked open and there standing was half a shadow person with red eyes. He smiled and ran downstairs. I jumped up from the bed and ran to the door, and I could hear him banging on the glass sliding door to the backyard. My mom said she'd always come to my room and pray and check up on us, and she told me one day if I always slept with my closet door open. I told her no, scares me, so I always shut it. She said every night she goes to my room and it's wide open. We all had walk-in closets, so if anything was in there, you could not see it since it was so dark and deep. The last story I'll tell you about is my dad. We lived in some apartments for a few years, and I'd experienced things like shadow people, but not too scary, so I didn't care. But one night, my dad woke up and his room door was open, and he felt something on top of him. He rolled over, and there was a little boy about 3 years old sitting on my dad with big red eyes and big ear-to-ear smile. My dad rolled over and saw this little boy running backwards down the hall. My dad doesn't care too much for the supernatural and brushes stuff off easily. I, however, love anything supernatural, but I'm really terrified of this dark. So I slept with a few lights, night lights on. That way my room is always somewhat lit. I have a few other stories that I'll save for your another day. Thank you for doing what you do. I recently discovered this podcast and love it. However, it makes me very depressed for some reason.
Well, that's not good.
I have that effect on people.
I'm just curious. I know that this is not a new thing, but what is it with ghosts in closets? Why do they want to be in closets?
It's dark.
And dark,
it's hidden.
And it's alone.
I don't know. I think some of that is... when you have the boogeyman in the closet or whatever, that it very rarely seems to be Aunt Edna who's coming out to say, hey, let's talk about Christmas of 84. You know, it's usually something not so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it is the not so good thing that's coming out of the closet, it's really just playing on its knowledge of what we fear. And we naturally fear the dark, creepy closet. Mm-hmm. As a child, it's still in all of us that the closet is still kind of a creepy place. And I think it's just using that knowledge of knowing what it is that freaks us out to add to whatever it's trying to do. Because it doesn't ever seem to be all that good when you have the entity that's coming out of the closet. If for some reason we had an innate fear of armoires, it would be coming out of armoires.
Okay.
That's my...
I think that's just funny.
Take on it.
Yeah.
You know, and it may be, you know, I don't know, I could be completely wrong. This seems like it's a fairly primal fear. It's a dark, scary place that a lot of, you know, people seem to, you know, have fear of. And I would think it would be almost worldwide, but, you know, it may be a cultural thing too. I don't know. Maybe there's another part of the world where there is, in fact, another item in the room that is, you know, taught to children of, ooh, the scary thing comes out of this or that, where in that part of the world, when people are in fact seeing things, it's coming out of that area.
Well, a lot of places don't have closets.
Okay.
They don't
build
them into homes. I mean, a lot of places they have a piece of furniture that they use instead, something like that.
So maybe maybe it could be that. Maybe, you know, I think it's just dark things playing in what we already know and fear. That'd be my take on it. 855-855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Katsuka writes in, hello, I've been listening to your show for a couple of, yes?
Nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stretching, I'm not raising my hand.
I thought you were raising your hand because I pronounced a name wrong.
No.
Okay, I think I did a pretty good job on that one.
The fly's on your head.
It is? No, it's not. I would feel it. I have no hair up there.
Okay.
I can sense everything. Hello, I've been listening to your show for a couple of months now, and I love it. Your show has helped me fall asleep sometime. Asleep is something that it's hard for me because I have a traumatic brain injury due to a car accident. Well, I've had a few paranormal experiences. The only thing is I never saw an apparition. I'll share two experiences that I went through. On February 17th of 2006, I was sleeping in my father's room on a sandwich bench, the bed that folds. It was a very cold winter in New York City, so the heater in the room was blowing hot steam. Woke up around 4 a.m. and I remember waking up sweaty and cold. The room was supposed to be hot because the heater was on, so I was confused. I closed my eyes and tried falling back to sleep, except when I closed my eyes, I felt my bed being pulled towards my father's bed. I thought to myself, like, what is wrong with my dad? But when I opened my eyes, I was real close to my father's bed. When I looked at my dad, he was in a deep sleep, snoring loud. So I didn't give it too much thought. So I got up, Push the sandwich bed back to where it was. Close my eyes again. And I felt the bed move back to my father's bed. Only this time, I opened my eyes quickly to count the act. But the movement stopped. At that very moment, I became confused. I looked around the room and there wasn't anything odd. I couldn't go back to sleep. I was too scared to close my eyes. Just lay there with my eyes open. My hair was long and it was loose and I felt someone stroking my hair. My eyes were wide open when this was happening, so I stood in total shock and did not move. I just stood still, was asking myself if I was dreaming. As the stroking continued, I heard whispers on the side of my ear as if someone was telling me a secret. That's when I was really scared. My eyes were wide open and I'm feeling everything that is being done to me. The room was really cold and it was getting bright outside. That's when I heard my grandmother walking to the bathroom. I jumped up so fast and ran to her. She asked me what had gotten into me and why I was up so early. So I told her what happened in my room. I was expecting for my grandmother to call me crazy, but she actually said someone close to me had passed away. They were saying goodbye. I was confused because I did not see any apparition, but I felt everything in the room was cold when the heater was on. So I forgot about it and got ready for my day. Later on that day, I had to go to a funeral. And on my way to the funeral, I saw a lot of my friends quiet and they did not greet me, so I found it weird. That's when I saw my friend's picture with candles around it. I was shocked and realized that it was my friend that passed away, and he was trying to say goodbye and probably say sorry because we had gotten into a heated argument that same week that he had passed away. A couple years later, I was in my apartment typing up midterm paper. I was in college at the time. I was in my kitchen finishing up my paper, and I felt a cold breeze. So I got up close to the window, and then I realized that the window was closed the whole time. I did not give it too much thought, so I went to bed. As I was walking to my bed, I heard someone say my name. I thought it was my boyfriend, but when I looked, he was in a very deep sleep. The next day, when I was on my way to school, my mom called and told me to rush to the emergency room. She did not say why. When I got there, my uncle was lying in a hospital bed and he had been dead for 3 hours. That's when I realized he was saying goodbye. I wasn't the only one he paid a visit to. At my aunt's house, some pots and pans were knocked down off a countertop. And his best friend said he heard someone walking on the roof of his house. And when he went outside to look, he saw my uncle on top of his roof. And he asked my uncle, "What are you doing up there? Come down and let's chat. When did you come by?" He said my uncle just gave him a big cheesy smile. And he turned around as if he was going to come down, but he never did. And the next day, he got the news that my uncle had passed away. I'm a true believer that when someone is passing away, they will say goodbye to whoever they need to say goodbye to. I hope you guys like my paranormal experience.
That's quite a feat to go around to everybody that you need to say goodbye to.
I wonder if that's like a family thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because this person had a lot of that happen to them.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you get the story of someone who has, like, one person in their life who had passed away out of many.
Mm-hmm.
And like, one of them was able to come back and say goodbye. It's not like everybody who passes away seems to go and make the rounds. It seems to be fairly sporadic. So it's hard to say that everyone has a chance to go and say goodbye. But they also said that people that they need to say goodbye to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's those that you know, not necessarily have had, you know, peace made with them if there was an argument. Or if there was some sort of open something there. Not necessarily an argument.
Yeah.
But just something that they wanted that extra little piece of closure to.
Sure.
I don't know. Very peculiar, but I like the showing up on someone's roof.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite, "Hi, I'm saying goodbye to you. I'm dead.
I'm up on your roof."
Yeah. That's like Santa Claus. And then suddenly a reindeer appeared. It's a good one. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Be sure to press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on. You may be new to the show. Maybe you just discovered us on one platform, but you tend to listen to others. We're all over the place. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, You name it. If it's a podcast platform, we are probably there. Also, like I said, YouTube as well. So lots of places for you to find us. Press subscribe and don't miss any episodes as we release them because we do the show year-round. Jen writes in, we moved into a new house when I was just about to enter high school. My family finished half the basement in the bedroom that my older sister slept in until she went to a college a few years later. After she moved out, I decided to take the room. Excited to have the new space and privacy, I noticed that things felt different down there fairly quickly. If I stayed up late, I would get this sense of unease, like someone was standing nearby, glaring at me in disapproval. I'd hear voices in the middle of the night, but couldn't understand what they were saying. I, at a time, had a feeling someone was trying to comfort me as well. I've always found the paranormal interesting and was open to it, so I just accepted it after some time. I got a distinct feeling of a young man and an older woman. The older woman was the one who disapproved of my late nights, but it was only when she wasn't happy that she made herself known. The young man was the more prominent figure for me. After about a year of this, I decided to mention it to my mom to see what she said. That's when everything else started to come out. Turns out that my sister hated sleeping in the basement and had a lot of the same experience as I did. Hearing the voices and unsettled feelings, my mom had the same thing when she went down to do laundry. She one day saw the shadow of a man cross over the wall by the washer. She turned around expecting to find my father, but was alone in the basement. We were telling each other our stories. We went downstairs and tried to figure out what the shadow could have been. We found no set answer, but did realize that the person would have been incredibly tall, 8 feet or so, to have a shadow pass over like it had. When I moved out of my college room, my mom reported that things had gone a bit quieter. Perhaps having no one in the room helped calm things down there. We did have one last experience, though when I had stayed one night, I slept on the couch, the old basement bedroom now used for storage, and it was morning. It was just my mom and I still left in the house, and my father had left for work in the early hours of the morning. I was still curled up half asleep on the couch when I heard my mom come down the stairs to say, "You're up early." I turned over to ask her what she meant, and she froze in place as her dog trotted down to the top of the basement stairs and stood there with his tail wagging. My mom hesitated in fear that she'd freak me out, but told me that as she'd come down the stairs in the living room, she'd seen someone walk past towards the basement stairs. She assumed it was me, until I had spoken up. Neither of us wanted to go downstairs to the basement to check, so we closed the door and waited until my father was home for him to make sure no one was down there. The basement was empty, and he told us we were being silly and there was no other way for anyone to get out of the basement. Perhaps someone was saying goodbye on what was one of my last times sleeping over at my parents. Not heard from my mom, and there's been any more episodes since then, and my sister refuses to speak of it for the most part as the paranormal scares her. But my father did hear my sister and her new partner arguing about how her partner refused to go down into my parents' basement alone because it was creepy and freaked her out, even now, years later.
You never hear of a ghost that's watching you with approval or adoration. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always disapproval or hate. You can feel the eyes burning into you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know. It's just funny.
It's one of those things where if it's strong enough that you can see it and it's giving you that look, you're certainly going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's just, it's one of those, it's your sixth sense that's picking up. Not only your regular senses, if you're able to see it, are picking up on it, and you can feel that mm-hmm. energy as well. Jem writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm writing in from England. I'm a skeptic, but really like ghost stories nonetheless, and listen to the podcast every day in my commute home. Never had a spooky experience that I couldn't explain, but I'll never forget my grandma coming to visit my mom when I was younger with a story beginning with the words, 'You'll never guess what happened at this weekend.' Obviously, I sat nearby to listen in on the sly and still can't figure it out. My grandma lives in a small village in Hertfordshire, and at the other end of the street, there's a small footpath over a stream, cornfield, and beyond that, an Air Force airfield. My aunt was staying with my grandma at the time, and after an evening at the pub, went to walk the dog. My grandma was looking after at the time. around the field, she went over to the field and ran straight home to my grandma's house. She shouted at my grandma to get up as she had seen something odd, and my grandma, thinking my aunt had too much to drink, tried to tell her she was seeing things. My aunt was persistent and ended up convincing my grandma and her husband to get dressed and walk out and over to the field. The minute they walked over the footpath, in the middle of the field was a large house. My aunt, grandma, and step-granddad all told of the house being full of life, silhouettes of people having a party being clearly visible, old music playing, and the sounds of chatting and laughter. There was a red light on top of the house, and there were planes flying above the building. They didn't want to get any closer and cross the bridge to return back to their house. On stepping back over the footbridge, the house disappeared. They walked over to the field the next morning, and there was not a shred of evidence that anything material had been there. My grandma had lived in the same village for over 60 years. There was not a house there at the time of the war. As the music seemed to indicate, and they cannot describe it. It's worth noting that there have been some odd happenings in their street before, including my mom going out to get into the family car as a small child in dense fog and touching the door handle, for my granddad said, "Our car is the one behind." Them getting in the car behind and switching on the fog lights, only for there to be nothing ahead of them. Hope you enjoyed the story. It's one that I always share with my little cousins, and I know they love it. Keep up the great shows, Jim.
Franklin time.
You almost have to think that. The odd part is, not having had a house there, the music playing from a certain period where you'd expect the house to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Can a house from a different area reappear somewhere else?
Well, if the grandmother had lived there 60 years,
mm-hmm.
maybe it was something that was there right before and then somehow was destroyed.
Sure, just and then just being unaware that it was actually
mm-hmm.
there. I could see that. I mean, there's a lot of things that we think we know that we don't know. Just, I mean, not talking about paranormal, just factual,
yeah.
structural things that were in certain places. I think Wrinkle in Time of some sort that just seems so bizarre. I love the story like that.
I do, too.
It's just it's so, you know, that when it gets that active, it's so, so hard to explain
mm-hmm.
and really can't. So just hear the stories and enjoy. Good stories today. Thank you guys for writing in. We really do appreciate that. Of course, your phone number 855-853-4802. If you like the show, please help us keep it on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Get all of our bonus episodes, brand new one every single week as well. It's only $5 a month. Or you can sign up for a full year. It's up to you. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm going to go kill this fly now.
Okay, good luck.